Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
Welcome back, Giants fans. You can just about smell the freshly mowed grass. Spring is just around the corner, and we had the opportunity to interview about six Giants at Media Day yesterday at AT&T Park. This is with starting pitcher Matt Moore. He talks a little bit about living on the West Coast and that it's taken an adjustment, but the pros far outweigh the cons, despite the fact that his girlfriend lives in Florida. And also a little bit about the disappointment of last year's ending, but also the excitement that the new closer brings. You can watch this interview also on YouTube, as well as all of our other player interviews. Hope you enjoy.
And just the difference between coming over, you know, I don't know whether you have a place to stay in San Francisco yet, but just kind of being able to do things in a more planned way.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, last year I was running a lot of adrenaline just from being here, and a lot of the excitement that comes from getting to know new players, going from last place to first place. So a lot of upgrades in that sense. The off the field stuff, as far as, you know, the logistics of getting here and living and that kind of stuff, you know, it's pretty easy this day and age. You know, there's not a lot of excuses, you know, whether it be the group that you work with away from the field or this organization. You know, there's plenty of hands out there to help you figure out those small things. You know, and as far as the, you know, adjusting maybe time zones, you know, my girlfriend's in a BSN program in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So 3-hour difference, our game starts at 10. So that was one thing that was different, but it's temporary. She finishes, you know, in the middle of the summer. So I think just keeping things in perspective and not using it as a crutch or an excuse. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you got traded to the San Francisco Giants, right? First place in the West.
Yeah.
There's way too many positive things, you know, for me to kind of get stuck up on some of the small stuff, but probably the dogs, you know, saying bye to the dogs for a while, that's tough. I don't have any kids right now. You know, so I'd say, you know, between, you know, just my girlfriend and the time zone, those are the things that I think are a little bit of the constraints with, you know, maybe feeling completely normal during a baseball season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Closer to my family now in New Mexico, so they can come out a lot more frequently. But no, it's, I mean, I remember when the day I found out, I left the stadium, I went home, and I had the Tampa Bay game on, and I just, you know, it was crazy watching the game on the couch, thinking about going to San Francisco, and I hadn't had that type of, you know, rush where you know, it's really like an unknown and an excitement thing.
Right.
Yeah.
There's probably, I'm guessing, you know, when it's natural when you go into a new team, you want to impress, and I think you're a pretty even-keeled guy, but is that feeling not there anymore? Like, you don't have to go in and, you know, impress everybody right away, you know, because, you know, you're now part of the group as opposed to when you come in fresh.
I definitely still feel like, you know, I think it's been since I was in high school, I've kind of had this, you know, I'm never content with what I did last year. I still have a, I don't know if you want to call it a fear, but it's something that keeps driving me to, you know, not just say, hey, I don't have to do anything anymore. You know, almost having that, you know, that, you know, afraid to lose feeling, you know, where you're like, you know what, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And to kind of continue to dig at myself and keep it, you know, not content.
Right. Did you play that game 4 of the division series in your mind a lot during the offseason, or were you more like, okay, game's done and, you know, move on pretty quickly?
I thought about it, right, every day pretty much. It's just baseball players, the last game I pitched. A lot of people like to talk about that, so it wound up coming up in conversations with friends or family I haven't seen in a while. So probably a little bit of that contributed to why I thought about it, but also it was such a fun game to be a part of, you know, and being a starting pitcher, you don't get to be a part of all of them, and to get a base hit, right? That was some of the coolest thing, the coolest feeling probably on the baseball field I've ever had. But no, I think just in general, replaying a lot of the things that, you know, whether it be Trevor and I went through or Buster out there on the, you know, our guys making plays behind me, is a lot of different things that had time to reflect on during the off season.
Yeah. Do you have a little bit of a kind of mixed feelings about that game, and that you personally had such an outstanding performance, and yet, you know, the team ended up, you know, on the losing end?
No, not one bit. And, you know, if I had to do it over again in that same moment, I'd feel just as confident, you know, with Derek going out there to start the ninth inning. And, you know, that's a part of the game, right? I think that you could see the Chicago Cubs had something a little bit different last year, with even coming back from down 3-1, you know, and beating us in that game right there. It seems to take moments like that, great moments where, you know, that team's a champion,
right?
You know, they're champions. So, you know, you tip your cap, and at the end of the day, understand that losing is a part of playing. So it's, try to be better off for it the next time, but at the same time, I feel like I was fortunate to be in that situation anyways. You know, at 100 whatever pitches in the eighth inning, in the fourth inning I was probably like 75 pitches.
Yeah.
So a couple hard hit balls, a walk and a double play, and, you know, stuff kind of comes together, and you're like, wow, I didn't feel like I threw that solid, but it just kind of came together. You know, Buster's back there getting pitches. I'm sure if you look at the last pitch I threw to Dexter for a called strike three, I'm pretty sure it was off the plate, but Buster's back there catching it, running off the field before he even has a chance to think about it. So a ton of things just, you know, feel like went right, you know, for us that day, obviously before the ninth inning, but that's the game. I think that's why it made last year so special for the sport and, you know, for the history books. It's it was a great year for baseball.
It was a crazy year for sports, because you look at the other sports and, you know, you guys have one game where you're up three runs, but, you know, like you said, the Cubs coming back against the Indians, the Warriors coming, you know, up 3-1 and losing, and then now Atlanta up by 25 points with, you know, 17 minutes left to play. So it really shows you that, you know, you guys as athletes have to kind of just bear this, you know, the wins come with the losses, basically, even in the most dramatic fashion.
Absolutely. I'm not a huge UFC fan, but I do kind of like watching certain fights if it's a matchup or something. But, you know, I heard Conor McGregor, after he got beat by Nate Diaz the first time, I think the only time he got beat by him, but when he went up and fought, and he stood there, let Nate, you know, say whatever he wanted to in the middle of the ring. And, you know, McGregor's a showman, so he stood there, let him say what he wanted to say, he took his medicine, did an interview with Joe Rogan, said, look, I stand here, you know, humbled in defeat. You know, I know that this is a part of it. And I thought that, you know, that's, to me, that's the type of athlete that you kind of look up to for that reason. Not maybe for some of the other things that, you know, could be said, but, you know, for Conor to, you know, in that moment, just respect the sport and respect the, you know, the culture of whatever they're going through. And I think it's just a part of it. You know, nobody likes a sore loser.
Hey, good seeing you again, man.
Nice to see you, too.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Your first, well, it wasn't a full year at AT&T, but out of everything you heard, was there anything that surprised you about pitching here?
Yeah, the temperature at night. I mean, I had no idea. These guys were telling me that, because we were on the road somewhere and we're sweating, and then he's like, dude, you're going to be wearing a hoodie and your big jacket in the dugout. No way. By the end of the year, I was wearing both my pants, so like two pairs of baseball pants and my hoodie and my jacket, and usually had my hood over my head. But just probably that, you know, was one of the big things. Having that type of energy and support from 40,000 people is, you know, it's rare. You know, we didn't have a ton of crowds like that where I had come from, so it definitely helped you maybe get to a level, you know, that you're not, you know, warmed up for, or helps you kind of get warmed up quicker and helps you find that that smooth feeling where everybody's warming up, just to kind of get their body warmed up. When do I feel good? When do I feel good? It happens quicker, I think, with, you know, the amount of adrenaline that's being supplied.
When you pitched on those cold nights, did you do anything differently than, say, a normal temperature day, a 72-degree day? Besides your, you know, clothing and stuff.
Besides,
you warm up differently? You do anything with, you know, in the dugout to keep your hands warm, or do anything like that?
I probably threw a few extra throws just in flat ground, just to, just to get ready quicker, or not quicker, but to, you know, maybe feel a little more warmed up. And then, but nah, nothing, everything was pretty much the same. And once it's different starting that night and then not playing. It's cold when you're not playing, and then I barely put on a jacket in the dugout, mostly just to kind of keep it off my skin. But it's not, you know, for the guys that are running in now the dugout, I'm sure they're much more comfortable than the guys just sitting in there.
Yeah. You guys, you know, three out of the last four of the core four, I should say, are gone. But it looks like, you know, the team has a lot of up and coming hard throwers, and of course you guys just got Melanson. Is there a little bit of excitement amongst the players, even though some of you probably just coming in together and meeting each other for the first time this year, since last year, about maybe the potential stability of that pen?
I think any team that, you know, signs a free agent, you know, that has the pedigree that Mark's, you know, put up over the last, you know, several years, is there's going to be excitement surrounding that no matter what. So, you know, getting to meet him today for the first time is really cool, and look forward to spring training as we get to know each other better.
Cool, thanks a lot.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.